Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
It's time to join Jill Bevilacqua, who looks ahead for us to the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul, which falls on the 21st of January each year.
Now as he journeyed, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed about him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do."
Not very far from Damascus, about 10 minutes' walk from the noonday gate, can be seen what looks at first like a heap of ruins. As you draw closer, the ruins take the shape of a dozen trunks of columns, all lying in the same direction. To this spot, Christians come in procession every 25th of January, the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul, for it was here that the future apostle of the Gentiles was thrown from his horse as he galloped towards Damascus, bent on the persecution of the Christians.
"I am a Jew, and was born at Tarsus in Cilicia. I studied under Gamaliel, and was taught the exact observance of the law of our ancestors. In fact, I was as full of duty towards God as you are today."
On at least two occasions in later life, when on trial for his preaching of the gospel, Paul told his own story. He was born around the year 10 AD of a Jewish family of the tribe of Benjamin. Legally, he was a Roman. Intellectually, he was a Greek. Spiritually, he was a Jew. After learning the trade of tent-making, he was sent to Jerusalem, and enrolled in the school of Gamaliel, he was given a thorough grounding in the religious doctrine of the Pharisees.
As he grew up, Saul heard of the new Christian sect that was spreading throughout Palestine, and he determined to do all he could to help suppress it. But an incident at which he was present was to remain impressed in his mind: the martyrdom of the deacon Stephen. As the crowd made ready to pelt Stephen with stones, they took off their cloaks so as to be freer in movement.
"And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting to his death. And on that day a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul laid waste the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison.
I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only shut up many of the saints in prison, by authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues, and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Thus I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests."
It was several days' journey from Jerusalem to Damascus, across barren, rocky countryside. And on the last day, Saul urged his companions on, determined to reach Damascus that night. But as he spurred his horse into a canter, a powerful gust of wind swirled about him, and a roaring sound thundered in his ears. Paul takes up the story.
"As I made my journey and drew near to Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' And I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting.' Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not hear the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said to me, "Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do." And when I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus.
St. Luke continues the story in the Acts of the Apostles.
The men travelling with Saul stood there speechless, for though they heard the voice, they could see no one. Saul got up from the ground, but even with his eyes wide open, he could see nothing at all, and they had to lead him into Damascus by the hand. For 3 days he was without his sight, and took neither food nor drink.
It's at this point that a Christian called Ananias, living in Damascus, comes on the scene. That night the Lord appeared to him in a vision.
Ananias heard the Lord call him. When he replied, "Here I am, Lord," the Lord said, "You must go to Straight Street and ask at the house of Judas for someone called Saul, who comes from Tarsus. At this moment he is praying, having had a vision of a man called Ananias coming in and laying hands on him to give him back his sight." When he heard that, Ananias said, "Lord, several people have told me about this man and all the harm he has been doing to your saints in Jerusalem. He has only come here because he holds a warrant from the chief priests to arrest everybody who invokes your name." The Lord replied, "You must go all the same, because this man is my chosen instrument to bring my name before pagans and pagan kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he himself must suffer for my name."
And that decided Ananias. He went to the house in Straight Street, as Paul himself recounts.
Someone called Ananias, a devout follower of the law and highly thought of by all the Jews living there, came to see me. He stood beside me and said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." Instantly my sight came back, and I was able to see him. Then he said, "The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see the just one and to hear his own voice speaking, because you are to be his witness before all mankind, testifying to what you have seen and heard. And now, why delay? It is time you were baptized and had your sins washed away while invoking his name."
Immediately, it was as though scales fell away from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. So he was baptized there and then, and after taking some food, he regained his strength.
Paul stayed some days with Ananias and the other Christians in Damascus, proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues to the amazement of all. Soon the Jews were plotting to kill him, but the disciples lowered him down over the wall in a basket, and Paul set off alone for the desert. He stayed there for 3 years, and then returned to Jerusalem. He was ready to begin his mission. But he'd not been there long when the Lord appeared to him again.
"When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance, and then I saw him. 'Hurry,' he said, 'leave Jerusalem at once. They will not accept the testimony you are giving about me.' 'Lord,' I answered, 'it is because they know that I used to go from synagogue to synagogue, imprisoning and flogging those who believed in you. And that when the blood of your witness, Stephen, was being shed, I was standing by in full agreement with his murderers and minding their clothes.' Then he said to me, 'Go, I am sending you out to the pagans far away.'"
Paul's life from then on was a series of missionary journeys over Western Asia Minor and Greece. He was in constant danger, as he himself wrote, from robbers, from his own nation, from the Gentiles, in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, from false brethren, in labour and painfulness, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, imprisoned, and at the end beheaded in Rome, about the same time as St. Peter was crucified.
But he never faltered. He was as single-minded in his service of Christ, with complete disregard for the cost to himself. When on trial before King Agrippa in Jerusalem, he told once again the story of his conversion, and this time quoted the words spoken to him on that occasion long ago on the road to Damascus.
"And the Lord said, I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you to serve and bear witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles, to whom I send you to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. And so I have stood firm to this day, testifying to great and small alike, that the Christ was to suffer, and that as the first to rise from the dead, he was to proclaim that light now shone for our people and for the pagans too.
A warm thanks there to Jill Bevilacqua for this special programme focusing on the figure of St. Paul.
Thanks for joining me. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.